Jeff Brubaugh from Roto-World Fantasy Contributor joins us. Jeff, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Well, for you guys, man, this is like a long off season. Finally comes in. Now you get to go to work. The drafts are over, and you know, drafting a team well can change so quickly, as we saw last night with Eddie Lacy. If you don't have his backup, it can really change things for you. Looking ahead, what's your thoughts on the Cincinnati Bengals running backs? Should people shy away from Hill or Bernard, or is it too early, and is a Bernard a guy that you dress until you see what they use for Hill?
No, I'm actually pretty excited about both of these backs this year. Yeah, they got a new offensive coordinator under Marvin Jones there, Hugh Jackson in Cincinnati this year. And his history in the NFL as both head coach and coordinator has been pretty run heavy. And both of these backs, they complement each other well. You know, Gio Bernard last year really showed his receiving chops, turned it up in the pass game there for them. And then they drafted used a fairly high pick here this year on Jeremy Hill, and he looks like the bruiser that's going to handle the early down and goal line work there. So I think there's room for both of them to really succeed this year, and I think you can get the most profit out of where you drafted Jeremy Hill, you know, 8th, 9th round this year.
There are a few teams where there's some questions. People wonder, well, who's going to get any sort of points from these guys in fantasy football? Jacksonville receivers, are any of them worth someone starting this week?
You know what, Cecil Shorts, as far as I know, the latest news out of Jacksonville is he's a little bit iffy to play, so that's going to be something to watch this weekend. But I think Marquise Lee, the rookie out of USC, I think he's going to be someone to check out. They're a little bit, just like you alluded to, a little bit short on options there. But Marquise Lee, he's the guy I trust the most there down there in Jacksonville.
Jeff Brubaugh from Roto-World Fantasy Contributor joining us, talking some fantasy football. Jeff, who are some first-year NFL players you could see making an impact in Week 1?
As far as first-year NFL players, you know what, in the running back department, Jeremy Hill, who we just talked about a few minutes ago, he's probably the running back I would look at there. But as far as wide receivers, we'll have some more options. I'd like to start there, the New Orleans Saints-Atlanta Falcons matchup. They have got a pretty high over-under there, second highest on the board as far as what Vegas expects them to score this week. So that should be a pretty high-scoring affair in those NFC South games. They're always in those domes. They tend to get like that. So Brandon Cooks, the young speedster, he's going to pick up a lot of the targets that Darren Sproles left behind when he bolted for Philadelphia. So I think Brandon Cooks is someone, a new fantasy newcomer here as a rookie, that could chip in Week 1.
Jeff, who are a few players that are that have changed locations from last season that are on a brand new team that you could see having a bigger impact this year on a new roster?
As far as a complete change of scenery, he certainly won't have a bigger impact than last year, but is certainly being a little bit underrated as Eric Decker with the New York Jets. Geno Smith looked to improve a little bit here in his second year, and Decker is their big stud. They paid him a lot of dough to be there, and they should be targeting him quite heavily there. But as far as people who are going to exceed what they produce when they switch to a new team, you got to look at the Denver Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders there, especially with Wes Welker now having a little too much fun at the Kentucky Derby and being out the first four games. So Sanders will slide into the slot there. And that's been a position that Peyton Manning just hammers with targets. So Emmanuel Sanders, he'll really get a boost this year playing in Denver, and particularly when Welker's out.
You know, there's some obvious quarterback starts. We know Brady and Manning and Breeze. Those guys are getting started all the time. If you get down to later on, teams might have, you know, an Andy Dalton or a Cam Newton. And Newton, with that rib injury, he's playing the Bucs, and then Dalton's playing Baltimore, who historically, you know what, especially the two games last year, he was brutal against them. Would you start those guys, or would you look for better options at quarterback?
You know what, Cam Newton, it appears that he's going to be a game-time decision, which in that phrase, game-time decision, is just kryptonite to fantasy owners. But you got to hang in there. With Cam, you're going to have to wait, and that's going to be a Sunday-type deal for him. And unfortunately, he plays in an afternoon game. So, but normally a little bit of news will leak Sunday morning, so I'd pay attention there. And if it sounds like he's going to start, I'm definitely starting him. Just as an option there, that he's just too good when he's on the field. As far as Dalton's concerned, Not a huge Dalton fan this season. He was pretty good last year, but with the new coordinator heading in there, I'm not as big a fan as him. As far as week one goes, I'd probably look for some better options. A couple of guys I like, Ryan Tannehill, playing against a good New England defense, but he's got an exciting new offense there. And then, or someone like Alex Smith, Jake Locker, a couple of perhaps unowned options that I'd plug in there ahead of Dalton.
If you don't get one of the, you know, the marquee guys like a Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson, there's a lot of guys out there or girls in their fantasy pools that are looking for their second running back. And a lot of times it's split carries like Bell or Bush in Detroit or Thomas or Ingram in New Orleans. Which one do you like respectively on each team?
This one is kind of going to, we'll start with New Orleans. This one is pretty dependent on what type of format your league is set up. You know, if you're getting points per catch, then Pierre Thomas is your guy. Those running backs in New Orleans get targeted a ton there. And so he's going to be racking up a lot of catches, especially with Sproles gone. And Pierre Thomas is already a very usable, you know, running back two last year in PPR leagues, and that'll only get better for him. But if you're in a standard league, I still prefer Thomas, but Ingram gets a little bit closer. He's going to handle all the goal line work there, and he's really going to pound it, lead that team in carries. In either format, I give Thomas the nod there, but it gets far closer if you're not getting points per catch. And as far as Detroit goes, it's kind of about a 60-40 type deal for me right now with Reggie Bush just getting a slight nod over Joyke Bell. Heading into drafts this year, I preferred Bell because you could get him a round or so later. But both of those guys are really going to pound it this year. And now in Detroit this year, they got a new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, who came from New Orleans, and you know what they've done in New Orleans for the past few years, and that's hammer both Darren Sproles and Pierre Thomas with targets. So there's plenty of room for both Reggie Bush and Joyke Bell to be involved in the passing game there. So there'll be plenty of work to go around, but I give Reggie the split on.
Jeff Brubaugh from RotoWorld joining us. Jeff, you mentioned earlier the Saints and Falcons. It's going to be a lot of points probably in that matchup. What other matchups this weekend can we look forward to where you can see a lot of points and a lot of action happening?
Well, the number one highest one, and you know the guys in Vegas are a lot smarter than us, is the Indianapolis Colts at the Denver Broncos. And the best part about that from a fan perspective is that's Sunday nighter. Your fantasy matchups, you'll be able to focus clearly here on the Colts and Broncos, and that should be a fun one there. There should be a ton of points being put up there with both of those offenses, two great quarterbacks, and you know what Peyton Manning's capable of.
We've had a few questions about tight ends. Zach Ertz, who takes on Jacksonville, Jordan Reed at Houston. If you had to pick, who would you start?
Zach Ertz or Jordan Reed. You know, Jordan Reed had a little bit of a thumb injury, but he's practiced fully the past couple of days. I like him. You know, he's having a fantastic year last year and then was knocked out for about the last half of the year with a concussion. But, you know, he's back, and I really like him this year. You know, Ertz was a little bit underrated in drafts this year, and you know, having any piece of that Chip Kelly offense in Philly is a pretty good idea. But I think I would roll with Jordan Reed this week at Houston with RG3.
What's your expectations of Edelman this season?
That one's a little bit tricky. You think back to last year when Edelman was so good, and he was winning leagues for people last year in the playoffs down the stretch, and that was largely largely without, you know, Gronk and Shane Vereen missing parts of the year, Amendola missing a lot of the year. And now with all those weapons seemingly healthy, you would imagine that Edelman's targets and his workload from Tom Brady would decrease a little bit. But, you know, through the preseason, Brady seemed to key in on Edelman, and I think he really trusts him. He's kind of in that inner circle with Gronk and Vereen. And with those top three options there, Brady should keep him busy. So, I'm a fan of Edelman this year.
Defense/ special teams. The Steelers, to me, going against Cleveland, there's a lot of question marks in Cleveland. Some people think Drew Tate's going to fall on his face in the first week against that Steeler defense. I'm not so sure. But without Josh Gordon, it definitely doesn't look like they have a real deep threat at all in Cleveland. Who are your some obvious starts for defenses, and who are some that you'd be leery of starting this week?
As far as the obvious ones go, a couple of guys that I like, the New York Jets. They're facing Oakland. You know, they're going to be starting a rookie quarterback there. They're going to be at home, or Oakland's going to be starting a rookie quarterback on the road here. Derek Carr, who looked pretty good, especially in week four of the preseason, but, you know, he's going to be getting his first start in the NFL on the road, and that surrounding cast in Oakland just isn't great. So I would look, and the Jets could be an option that's still available for you to stream in your leagues right now. I like the Jets there. A couple of other options, the Detroit Lions, they may be available. They're at home, and they're going to be playing Eli and the Giants, and they have a new offensive coordinator with the Giants this year, Ben McAdoo, and boy, the Giants have just looked awful in the preseason. It didn't really look like they were picking up that scheme quite yet, so it could be a little bit of a bumpy start for them, and Detroit's got a good front that could put some pressure on Eli, and as we saw last year, Eli is prone to throw picks from time to time.
Are you expecting big numbers from Jeremy Maclin?
You know what? That's a high tempo offense that Chip runs there, but they obviously run the ball. I believe they led the NFL in rushing attempts last year, but you know what? That in Seattle's in the same boat. That high number of rushing attempts breeds big plays through the passing game. As long as Jeremy Maclin stays healthy there, you know, out all year with the knee injury, I definitely think he is a big step ahead of Riley Cooper in that offense. The rookie Jordan Matthews will come around. But, yeah, I think Maclin will be the number one target there for Nick Foles. And, I think it's a bit – he's not going to, you know, all of a sudden jump up the wide receiver one territory. But I could see him, you know, rounding out into a solid wide receiver two option.
Denver's passing attack last season, of course, was dynamic. And a lot of times you could have three or four guys deep, as Jeff Brubaugh from Roto World joins us to talk a little fantasy football. We know Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, and even Samuels now are in there as obvious starts for the receiving core. But who's that third guy now who moves up with Wes Welker as a receiver being out for the first four games? Is it Latimer? Who's the other guy that people should look at storing on their bench and possibly even starting as a flex?
Yeah, you got all the options you named there, and that leaves that one spot with Emmanuel Sanders sliding into the slot to replace Welker. That leaves that other outside spot opposite Demaryius Thomas. It leaves that available, and I think the guy there is going to be the rookie Cody Latimer.
Okay.
You know, the only other real receiving option that the Broncos have is Andre Caldwell, and he's just kind of a perennial waiver wire option. He's going to be staring you in the face. He'll have a couple of good games here and there with Peyton Manning hooking up with him for the couple of touchdowns, but for the long run, I don't think that's worth it. But this rookie Cody Latimer, every word out of Denver has said this guy's a stud. He really showed it over the training camp and in the preseason, and it seems to be someone that they're trusting and to step in here and fill some of the void left by Welker's suspension.
Giants, Dolphins look like they're also going by committee a little bit. Marino and Miller, and then you've got Williams, who was told that he was too raw, and Rashad Jennings. Is Jennings and Marino the obvious starts right now in those two cities?
I think it's far more obvious with the Giants than it is the Dolphins.
Okay.
I really like Rashad Jennings this year. The only threat, really, that Andre Williams really presents no threat at all in the receiving game. So you know Rashad Jennings is going to play on third downs. And, you know, he was very good in that role last year toward the end of the season when he was really racking up some fantasy points with the Raiders. But you know what? He's going to be used. He's going to be an all three down back, and you're able to get him at a little bit of a cheaper price than some of these other three down backs in the NFL. At absolute worst, Williams is going to steal a few carries and maybe a couple touchdowns here and there, but Jennings is going to get the majority of the work. And as far as Miami is concerned, that's a tough one. You know, we had high hopes for Lamar Miller last year. He still looks good himself, but that offensive line is a little bit dicey there in Miami. And you know what? No, Sean Moreno looked good at the end of the preseason here. And you know, I don't think they signed him to a contract, to have him not play. So I would give Moreno just a slider edge over Miller. I think Miller's still talented, but a lot more clear with the Giants and Jennings for sure.
And one last one for you. Texter Chris asks for his flex position, Torrey Smith or Bernard Pierce?
Oh, that's a good one, Chris, with a couple of Ravens going on. Pierce obviously filling in the first couple of games here. The unfortunate situation surrounding Ray Rice. And they are playing the Bengals this year. A pretty solid defense. I think I would be giving Torrey Smith, who I have very high hopes for this year, expecting big things out of him with Joe Flacco, new offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak. So I think, you know, every year that Smith has been in the NFL, he's been improving. kind of honing his craft for being just a deep ball burner and you know, working the rest of his route tree and whatnot. But I would give him the nod. You know, Pierce is tempting with him having the monopoly on the backfield this week, but I think Flacco will be targeting Smith plenty this week.
Jeff, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you throughout the season. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, thanks.